Dad, I want to talk to you right away.
Well, can't it wait, son? I'm on my way to the town meeting, sort of in a hurry.
I'm sorry, Dad. This is urgent.
And a little inconvenient. What's it about?
As a judge, I think you would say it was about justice.
Station WNYC, in cooperation with United Service for New Americans, presents My Town. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Tonight's story, written by Mildred Robertson and directed by Alexander Marshak, is the fifth program in the Golden Door series, which tell of the making of new Americans of every race and creed. Edward Begley, star of All My Sons, and Tom Begley, his real-life son, will play father and son in tonight's production. Jim Gregory is heard as Jules.
I want to talk to you about Jules Schwerin.
Jules Schwerin? You mean that refugee chap that works in the general store?
That's the man.
I didn't know you knew him.
I know him quite well. As a matter of fact, we're pretty good friends.
You? He? Friends?
I'm sorry it surprised you so much, Dad.
Well, it's just that... Well, you know...
I'm afraid I do. And that's why I want to talk to you. It's not only you and me, Dad. It's a question of the whole town. And what kind of a town it is.
I'll listen. Go on.
Jules arrived here about 6 months ago. He told me what it was like the very first day. What it's like to come into a small town as a stranger.
What it's like to come into a small town as a stranger? It was a warm summer day. A listless breeze hardly disturbed the dust of the road. There was the rich, warm smell of hot fields and sweet flowers, and the mild sound of summer things. The hum of bees, the sudden metallic rattle of the crickets, and far away, the sad, melancholic sound of a cowbell. I felt a cold loneliness as I approached the town. Suddenly, as never before, I was aware of being a refugee, a displaced person, belonging to nowhere, isolated as if on another planet. I was afraid, and I stopped on the road, and I heard my train racing away. For one long, breathless moment, I wished myself back on that train, and then, with the breath gone, I walked on. I stepped to the side of the road as I heard a car approaching.
Howdy. Going up to town?
Yes.
Hop in. Going that way myself.
Thanks very much.
Stranger here, aren't you?
Yeah, very much so. This is the first time I've ever been here.
Visiting?
No, I'm going to work and live here. I have a job in the general store.
With Job Jenkins? Old friend of mine.
Oh, you know him?
Know him. Stole my first handful of candy from his place. Got myself tanned for it. Sure, Job's like my second father. Oh, by the way, my name's John Crane. Father's judge in town.
My name is Jules Schwerin.
Just come from Europe, haven't you?
How can you tell?
Just a hunch. Spent a few years over there myself. Infantry. Takes you places, you know.
I never had a chance to find out. I spent the last few years in a concentration camp.
By the way, you speak a pretty good English for a...
Foreigner?
Yeah.
Is that what you wanted to say?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. But I didn't mean it that way. Where'd you pick it up?
Oh, I used to be a teacher, a journalist. I learned to speak several languages when I was a child.
Well, we're just about in town. Better let you off here. Just walk up that hill and you'll find yourself right in Jenkins's place. And by the way, I didn't really mean to call you a foreigner. Just a mistake.
That's all right. I suppose I am a foreigner in this town.
Thanks. Goodbye.
You see, Dad, from our very first meeting, I began to understand Jules. A highly intelligent, highly sensitive man who felt he didn't belong.
Well, he had work here, didn't he? No one mistreated him. He was free to come and go as he liked.
Free to come and go where?
Free to come and go? Where? To visit Mrs. Sloan? Mrs. Sloan, who tells me I must deliver to the rear entrance, and mumbles under her breath about foreigners taking over the town. Free to drop into the barber shop and talk politics with Jim Sharp, who thinks too many immigrants are coming to this country. Free to drop into the club, sit around like a deaf mute watching the others play and never seeing me. Is that free to come and go?
I'm sorry, Jules. I didn't realize things were that way.
Your town here, it's like a selfish little family, all tied up with room for nobody. Has its rules and regulations that go back to some ancient day, and nothing can change them. And the sharpest rule is for foreigners.
Wait a minute, Jules. It's not as bad as all that. A small town is like a family. Folks have lived here and worked together for generations. They can't help being a little clannish. But not everybody believes in outworn rules. I certainly don't.
The outspoken population of one comes to assure me.
No, you're wrong, Jules. There are others like me. I'm not so unusual or rare.
Then they're hiding very successfully.
Hold on, boy. You're getting all twisted up. That's the wrong slant. This thing has got to work both ways. If you're going to sit here in the corner and decide you're not wanted and finish, well, then it's finish.
I'm sorry, John. You're right. But you don't understand what happens inside of me. If this happened to you, you'd fight back hard. But me, they hurt my ability to fight. The concentration camp took that out and drained me dry. No, they haven't beaten me. But it was like they seared the skin from my body. And now I burn when I'm touched. And the little things become magnified by my sensitivity.
Then we've got to get you a new skin. And the sooner the better. What do you say?
I could use a new skin.
Okay, it's a deal. I got it all worked out.
Well, what is it? What are your plans?
Never you mind. This is my deal. You just push that sensitivity in the corner and put on your tie. We're going places. Now.
Okay. The tie and... Are you sure, John? Are you sure?
Brother, I'm sure up to here. Come on, let's go. We're headed for a little party.
Ma, you must have had a terrible time in that concentration camp. I know just what you must have gone through.
Yeah, I see.
I saw the films. You know, those terrible pictures of people being burned and
everything. I'd rather not talk about it.
Of course. I guess you don't want to think about that now. But you'll be going back to Europe, won't you? I mean, that's really your country, isn't it?
I'm afraid my country is gone.
And your family?
They're gone, too.
Oh, you poor thing. But it'll work out all right. You'll be able to go back to where you belong someday.
Excuse me, please.
Well, of all the gall. Janie, did you see him walk right out while I was talking? Did you see that, John?
You ought to learn to stop putting your foot in your mouth, Mary. What are you trying to do, deport the man?
I was just asking him when he was going back to where he belongs. Now, you know he doesn't belong in this town. Why, he's a foreigner.
Pretty rough treatment for Jules, wasn't it?
Rough is hardly the word. I was about the only one he trusted. And he felt that I got him into the whole thing. Of course, the thing spread through town and people began making cracks about my having spent too much time overseas.
People are sort of funny, aren't they?
It's a little worse than funny. You ought to hear Job Jenkins.
Look here, son. Work's finished for the day. Don't you think you ought to go out for a spell?
I don't feel like going out tonight, Mr. Jenkins.
How come, son? Tain't natural for a youngster like you to bottle yourself up night after night.
I like being here alone.
Just sort of sitting here and looking through the walls like you've been doing for the last hour? Yep. I've been watching you, and you're ailing, son. You're just not acting the way a young man should on a nice summer night.
I'm not a young man anymore, Mr. Jenkins.
Well, well. Reckon maybe you're figuring on retiring from business, hey?
No, I just like to be alone.
Well, I don't mind saying that I find it a mite peculiar myself. But then folks has got to live the way they fancy.
I suppose I fancy it this way then, Mr. Jenkins.
Okay, son. See you in the morning. Don't forget to douse the lights when you close up.
I won't forget. I won't forget, Mr. Jenkins. I won't forget anything. I sit here, Mr. Jenkins, alone. Alone and remembering. I sit here remembering, and then they come to sit with me, the yesterday people. They come to sit with me, and it's not quite so bad.
Are you going to lecture again tonight, Jules?
I'm afraid so, darling.
You're always going somewhere to do so many things. Can't you just take the night off?
And stay with you, I suppose?
Yes, stay with me. For just one evening. Can't you, Jules?
As a matter of fact...
As a matter of fact, this is the most important date.
And I was just going to say that I have tickets for the theater tonight as sort of a surprise. And I've planned a private dinner for us.
Oh, Jules.
Coming, Jules?
Be ready in a minute, Carl. Lost a button on this shirt.
Say, how does it feel, Jules?
How does what feel?
Ah, you're a strange man. Anybody else would be hopping all over the place with excitement. You just won a little award, nothing very much. Just acclaimed as one of our top journalists, that's all. You want to know what I'm talking about?
I've been thinking of another story.
Another?
I want to do a story about my friends. You know, we news writers are always talking about objective things. I want to talk about you, Carl, and Hal, Jenny, Liz, and the warmth and depth of our friendship. What it means to be together, to work and dream together.
And what it means to keep them all waiting while you write your notes. Now, come on, hurry up, Jules. We'll never get there. You're leaving for America, Jules. Just a few minutes. It's going to be a new, wonderful life for you.
I'm excited. Terribly excited. For the first time in my life, I don't have the right words.
A new land, new people, even new dreams.
I've been waiting so long and planning so many things. To live again. To live again like a human being. Now I know how. Now a breath becomes an important thing. Tastes are so full on the mouth. The things one sees, they mean more to the eyes. Everything has a new meaning. Deprivation teaches one new values. Now I live twice as fully as ever before. Friendships will be deeper. Living will be deeper.
Jules, you back there?
No, what?
Just came by to get my books. Left them locked up. By the way, someone back there with you?
No, I'm alone here.
Funny. Sure, I heard talking as I was coming up. Sure as get out. Well, I'll get my books and beat it. Kind of late.
Job told me how Jules keeps sitting back in the store night after night. And how he's heard Jules sort of talking to himself. Sometimes laughing. Sometimes...
Afraid he's busting up, son?
Dad, I'm no psychiatrist. But I learned a lot about people getting cured over there in that hospital. And I learned that you can't keep a man bottled up. He's got to have an out somewhere, somehow. And if he doesn't find a right way, the stuff stews in him like a poison. And I think that's what's happening to Jules. I think he's being poisoned. And, Dad...
Yes, John?
We're guilty. The whole town's guilty of handing him that poison. Do you know what we've done? We've built a displaced persons camp for Jules right smack in the middle of this town. No barbed wires. Strictly invisible stuff. But we're keeping him out. We're labeling him foreigner. And we're keeping him out.
It's beginning to shape up like that, son.
Dad, I don't want to sound corny, but when it comes right down to it, we're all foreigners in a way. I learned that back in the Army. I learned it when Tony Caporelli pulled me out of the ditch and got me to the dressing station. You know what I mean, Dad. We start out learning that America was put together by outsiders who had nowhere else to go. We're all outsiders in a way, foreigners, but we're Americans, too. Do we forget about the whole deal when someone comes along who's a little new and raw? Do we shove them into a corner and put up a sign that says, stay out? It's not right, Dad. It just isn't right.
I'm off to the meeting now, son. I'm a little late.
Are you going to do it, Dad?
I'll do it, son.
Gee, thanks.
Don't thank me, son. I'm doing it for my own sense of shame.
I'll be down to hear you, and proud to hear you. I'm going to grab Jules. This is one meeting he's not going to miss. Good luck, Dad. You're nuts, Jules. You can't do it.
I'm afraid I can, John. It's no use arguing.
But I'm going to...
I'm sorry, John. I've made up my mind. I'm packed. I have my ticket. As a matter of fact, I've got to leave right now to catch the train.
Mind if I walk with you?
No. Please.
They beat you, Jules, didn't they? They beat you out of town.
It's better this way, John. You mustn't feel too bad. I'll find another place. It'll be a little different, a little better for me.
You're lying, Jules. You're leaving and you're...
Beaten? Is that what you wanted to say? All right, I'm beaten. I came to this town and I found loneliness. I came to this small town and I found it was like a house and I had no key. I came to this town, I thought it would be like a dream. And the dream was sour and now... I'm leaving.
They beat you, Jules.
Beat me? Perhaps. Perhaps they did what they couldn't do over there, with their refined tortures and scientific methods. Perhaps they convinced me that I was alien and didn't belong.
Then where are you going?
I don't know.
But, Jules, don't you see? You've got to beat them here, because it's going to be the same in other towns.
John, you've been very kind. A real friend, but I can't listen to you anymore. I can only listen to something that tells me to hide, to crawl and hide a feeling of shame.
So they were right.
Who was right?
Back in town. They said you had no gumption. They said there was no fight. If they pushed, you fell back. If they sneered, you cringed. If they laughed, you were sure it was laughter at you.
Do you believe that, John?
I believe that you're a man. I believe that you aren't beaten. But you've got to prove it, Jules. Don't you see? Not only for yourself, but for the whole town. They think they're right, and you're going away letting them believe it.
I'm sorry. There's nothing else I can do.
Will you do me one favor before you go?
Of course, John. What is it?
Will you come to the town meeting tonight? It's on the way to the station. It wouldn't take very long.
Well, I don't see...
Please, Jules. For our friendship. I never asked for anything. Do this one thing. Call it a goodbye present. Will you?
All right, John. I'll go with you.
And that's what our town is. To the eye, to the ear, and to the little booklet issued by the Chamber of Commerce. But there is something else to an American town.
there's a heart. Without heart, a town is nothing but a pinpoint on the map signifying nothing. There's many ways of detecting the heart. One sees it in the history of the war we've been through, in the empty places at some of the tables in some of our homes, at the limp in the leg of my boy and some of your boys. One sees it in the recollection of a celebration. The celebration of war's end when we met here, all of us. And we prayed and wept together. One sees it now in this town meeting, where we meet as citizens, nameless as we speak, known to each other by what we say and do, not by our title or our authority. But sometimes we forget. We grow a little smug with the success of our town. We isolate ourselves from the rest of the world and tend to think of ourselves as different. We provide special rules that have nothing to do with the heart. And they prove heartless in the way they push people away. A man came to live in our town. A man who had suffered a war that most of us knew only through the headlines. A man came to live and work with us. And we said, hello, foreigner. We said, hello, foreigner, and refused him admittance into our town. I am responsible with the whole town for what happened, for I was too busy being proud of my town to note that pride was blinding me.
Dad, I'm sorry to interrupt, but can I say something, please? You see, Dad, I went to visit Jules Schwerin. That's who you're talking about now. I mean the man that the town pushed around. I went to visit him, and I found him packed and ready to leave. He's quitting the town.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry because it marks two defeats. A defeat for a man who needed an opportunity desperately, and a defeat for our town.
Wait a minute. We're not going to let it go at that. We're not just going to say we made a mistake and let it ride.
I'm afraid it's too late now, son. Damage has been done.
The damage has been done. Congratulations. You did a good job, fellow townsmen. You kept your sweet little town intact, pure. Congratulations. Somewhere a man is going to wander, looking for a place to call home, a place with friends, a place somewhere in America that shapes up to what he thought America was.
John, please.
No, let me speak.
No, wait, John.
You want to speak?
I want to speak.
You want to speak, John?
If the meeting will allow me.
The meeting will allow you to speak. Will you go ahead?
Thank you. I heard what the judge said and what my friend John said. At first I felt a little strange being the center of the conversation, but now I feel I ought to say something. I think maybe some of this situation was my fault. I think maybe... Well, I thought that perhaps being a part of something was automatic and not something you work for. But it's hard to work for something when you feel it's unobtainable. That's why I was packed and leaving when John came to talk to me. That's my train, I'm afraid.
Jules, wait. Jules, if we tried to meet you halfway... If the town, if we tried again, as if it were the beginning, would you be willing to try again?
Thank you, Judge. But I think it's a little too late.
Maybe for some folks, but not for Job Jenkins. Best man I ever had, that Jules.
There are more of us that feel that way, Jules. Think. You can win, Jules.
But I don't see...
It's a chance, Jules. Small towns don't change quickly. Habits are hard to break. And sometimes we're ashamed to admit we're wrong. But I know that I and others want you to stay. Want you to stay and make our town your town. Won't you stay?
Of course I'll stay. My heart has been breaking to stay. I just wanted to be asked, to be sure, to know I was wanted. I wanted someone to say, your town, not just my town. Of course I'll stay.
And now we present a man who is playing a leading part in introducing thousands of new Americans to their new hometowns all over the country. Mr. Reuben B. Resnick, Director of Community Relations of United Service for New Americans. Mr. Resnick.
A stranger, a foreigner, a refugee, comes to a town somewhere in America hoping for a new life. But American life passes him by. People look upon him as an outsider until he has a stroke of good fortune. A single, warm-hearted, and understanding friend helps him to break the ice, to feel that he belongs. We have thousands of people coming to America who are like the refugee in this story. Are they to be left to find their way into American life on their own? That question has come up in hundreds of cities and towns all over the country. You'll be interested in knowing what is being done about it. A few years ago, I lived in Dallas, Texas. When the victims of Nazi persecution first began coming to the United States, we set up a local refugee committee in Dallas. On that committee, we had representatives of all of the organizations and welfare agencies in town that could help newcomers to make a new start and to take their place in the life of our community. We went to United Service for New Americans, which is the big national agency that serves in the immigration and adjustment of newcomers to our country. We said to United Service, you can send us a monthly quota of these people and we will take care of them when they get to Dallas. The Dallas committee sees to it that someone meets the newcomers at the train. It arranges for them to have a place to live, usually with some family that has a spare room and is willing to take in a homeless refugee. The local social agencies help them to find jobs and trades where the town needs manpower. They are directed to English classes and vocational training courses. They are helped to get acquainted with their fellow townsmen. In other words, the people of Dallas are doing, as a community, all of the things that a single individual tried to do for his refugee friend in our story today. The entire program is supported by voluntary contributions, not costing a cent of public funds. And what is the result? Some of the finest citizens in Dallas today came there a few years ago as refugees. People who received a helping hand from us when they first arrived are now themselves most active in aiding the concentration camp survivors who are following in their footsteps. Before I went to Dallas, I lived on the West Coast. I saw the same kind of program set up in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Spokane, and other cities. United Service for New Americans stands at the heart of this work. It provides stimulation and national leadership for local refugee programs in Boston, Philadelphia, and Cleveland, in Chicago, St. Louis, and Denver, in hundreds of communities from coast to coast. It acts as the representative of those communities at the seaports. It meets the new immigrants when they disembark in New York, San Francisco, or any other port. It directs them to the places throughout the country where they settle permanently. This national program keeps the gateways to our country clear. It distributes immigrants throughout the land to communities where they will become Americanized rapidly and get into the mainstream of our national life. The Good Neighbor Program for newcomers to our shores is in the great American tradition of asylum hospitality to the victims of oppression. It is a practical example of grassroots democracy at work.
Thank you, Mr. Resnick. My Town was written by Milton Robertson, radio director of United Jewish Appeal, and directed by Alexander Marshak. Edward Begley was heard as Father, Thomas Begley as John, James Gregory as the refugee, Dudley Sandler as Job. Others in the cast were Bernie Barrow, Kathy Schneider, Lenore Garland. Sound by Arthur Lee, music by Al Arcus. The Golden Door series is presented by United Service for New Americans, whose work is supported by the $170 million campaign of the United Jewish Appeal. This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.